So school just started, right? A mother was anxiously waiting for her son to come home from his very first day of school. She wanted to hear all about his very first ever day of school. And when she picked him up from school, did she ever hear everything about his first day of school? He got in the car and talked and talked and talked about what happened in that first day of school. He was so excited. He could, believe it or not, he could not wait to go back to school the next day. The mother was listening. She was very interested in what he was going to say. And finally, the little boy, in all of his talk, he said, "And you know what, Mom? I made a new friend." And he told his mom all about this new friend. His mom's just listening and listening to what he has to say about his new friend. And then he took a breath. And it allowed Mom to interject for just a moment. He had been talking about this new friend and how excited he was about this new friend. And finally, when he took a breath, Mom said, "What color is he?" And the little boy, without missing a beat, said, "I don't know. I forgot to ask him." It's interesting what we see. It's interesting what we want to see. It's interesting what some people don't see, and things that some people don't pay attention to. We are living in a country. We are living in a nation. We are living in a culture that is plagued by racism. We are surrounded by it. And in times when we thought maybe it was getting better, all of a sudden it seems like things are getting worse than they have been in recent years. We are surrounded by it on every side. It is dividing us. It is pitting us against each other. It is stoking feelings of hate and anger and vitriol towards each other. I want to start today by telling you what the end of this lesson is going to say. I want to give you the conclusion, some of the conclusion of what this lesson is going to introduce today. We're going to have a lot of things on the screen today. It's going to be one of those lessons where you won't be able to copy everything down. But as we talk about this subject today, here's something I want you to understand, and here's something we're going to study today. When you hear that today's lesson is going to be about racism, you may already have locked in some thoughts. And I want to dismiss some of those thoughts right here at the beginning. We need to understand that anybody can be a racist. And we're going to talk about that today. Anybody can be a racist. It is not just limited to one race versus another race. Do I have your attention yet? Are you listening yet? Here's something we need to understand. We need to understand that if we judge someone based upon the color of their skin, we are not right with God. Let me change the pronoun in which I made that statement. I use the word we. If you judge someone based upon the color of their skin, you are not right with God. If you are one who go around thinking that everybody else is a racist toward you, you are not right with God. If you are one who your default, your automatic go-to, if your default is to see and to hear things through the prism of race, and everything has a racist tone to it, you are not right with God. You may not agree with every statement that's on the screen right now, but I want us to study this today. And I want us to investigate this topic today. Our kids just went back to school. I wonder what our kids are learning about racism in school. You think our kids are learning about racism in school? You think they're being taught things about racism in school? A few months ago, when our kids got out of school, we had a lesson. And that lesson was, what should our kids have learned about gender in school? Do you think our kids learned the truth about gender in school? I wonder if our kids learned the truth about racism in school. Today, I want us to talk about it. And I want to talk about what should our kids be learning in school. Not when it comes to the matter of gender, that was a few months ago. But what should our kids be learning about race? What should they be learning the truth about race? Not a matter of what do people in school think about it. What would happen if those in school actually taught the truth about race? How would that change the world? Unfortunately, I'm not sure that's on the menu in a lot of schools these days. So I just want us to sit down like we're in school, and I want us to talk about the truth about racism. And as we did with that class where we sat down and talked about what we should be learning about gender in school, we're going to go to different classes today. Are you ready? We're going to ring a bell. No, we're not. We're going to ring a bell and dismiss us to various classes. Don't ring a bell. Don't get any ideas. I shouldn't have even said that. But we're going to go to different classes today. We're going to see what we can learn in our different classes today. First class we're going to is English class. This is going to be the shortest class of the day. Some of you are like, amen to that. This is going to be the shortest class of the day. But we're going to English class because we need to define some terms. We just need to go, because in English class you learn where things have meaning and what they mean. So we just need to define some terms. But I'm going to set these terms out for you today. But I want us to also realize that I'm going to help us to understand them a little bit better when we get to some future classes. What does the word race mean? Boy, if you look that up today, you're going to get all sorts of different ideas about what race means. Here's a simple definition of race. Race, simply, if you look at it, says a group of people with certain physical features in common that distinguishes them from other groups of people. Now, I don't fully agree with that, but I'm just going to let that sit there as the definition of race, and we're going to come back and we're going to talk about that word race a little bit more. Well, let's allow that word to be that. Let's allow that definition to be what we're going to use for right now. What about racism? What is racism? Racism is the inclination to judge a person based solely on skin pigmentation or ethnic background. That makes sense, right? I mean, that just sounds like something we ought to do. That just sounds like something every Christian should be involved in, right? What's a racist? Racist is a person who judges others on exterior features, such as skin pigmentation, speech patterns, or other externals. Simple definitions. You could find these definitions anywhere, although I suggest to you, if you just Google definitions for these things, you're going to find all sorts of crazy definitions out there these days. But we're going to allow these to be kind of the foundation, that the definitions that we're going to kind of go with in this particular lesson. But here's some things I want you to see about definitions. By definition, racism is not limited to one group. Look at the definitions. Do the definitions say, oh, it's only this group and it's only this group that do? No. Definitions don't limit it. And so by definition, racism is not limited to one group of people against another. It's not merely saying that this is the behavior of one particular skin color against another particular. That's not in the definition. That's not there. I want you to see that. I want you to look at the definitions. Not just talking about one group against another group. It's not restricted to a particular element of society, meaning one element of society doesn't have to deal with this, but another element of society does. We're talking definitions here. It's not in the definitions. What do we see in the definitions? That racism is a universal problem for white, black, brown, orange, pink, yellow, green, blue, purple. I don't care what color the skin is. It is a universal problem. But if you're a Christian today, just look at the definitions of racism and racist. And if you look at those definitions, by definition, you understand that the practice of racism and being a racist is a sin. You got your Bibles? Go to James chapter 2. We had this morning read for us James chapter 2, 1 through 4, and we'll make reference to those in as we go through this. But James chapter 2 and verse 1 says, we don't need to hold the faith of Christ with partiality. What is he saying? Let's put it in 21st century vernacular slang terms. Don't be a stinking racist. That's what he's saying in James chapter 2 and verse 1. That's just a little modified version of it. Well, what if I do that anyway? James chapter 2 and verse 9. James chapter 2 and verse 9 says, if you show partiality, no big deal, everybody does it. Is that what your Bible says? If you show partiality, it's okay, just don't show a lot of partiality. Forget that. If you show partiality, the Bible comes right out and says, it is sin. By definition, I have no right to get engaged in this. By definition, a Christian understands he cannot have anything to do with showing partiality, with showing favoritism, with being a racist at all. Do you all learn that in English class today? I mean, we're in English class, we're done with English class, by the way. We're getting ready to ring the bell. Don't ring the bell. We're getting ready to leave English class. Do you learn that in English class today? Just sit down and open a dictionary and define some terms, and what do you figure out? When I look at those definitions, oh, no. That's not anything that I can have anything to do with as a Christian. The Bible teaches us that in plain English. But what if we go to history class? What do we learn in history class about racism? History class, we learned that racism has been found in almost every multicultural society on earth from the beginning of time. What does that mean? It's not anything new. And it's not anything that's just limited to the United States of America. I suppose that it's worldwide that this is an issue. But no doubt, because most of us live here, we think about what's happening in our own nation. And how our own nation has been plagued by racism from the very beginning. How many of those who were there at the very early stages of this nation were individuals who were being sold into bondage to another group of people. Some of them being sold by their own group of people into bondage to another group of people. What does that sound like to you? Our own nation has been bathed in its own blood, fighting a war where over 600,000 people died, fighting over slavery, fighting over racism. The most costly war, body count wise, was based upon something we're talking about right now. We are surrounded in our country by hate, by vitriol, by suspicion. Are you? We're surrounded by individuals who are full of bigotry. We're surrounded on every part by people who react with strife in certain situations, who react with hate in certain situations, who react with racism in certain situations. Here we are in our nation. We could just talk about the history of our own nation and say, there you go. We have dealt with it from early stages, even our own country. But I'm not here to badmouth our country, because we could say this about any nation. This goes back to Bible times. Was there racism in Bible times? Oh, no, not in Bible times. You know, everybody was perfect. Everybody was living. No. John chapter 4. The Bible tells us in verse 9 that the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. What does that sound like to you? Racism? They had no dealings with the Samaritans. So here's one group of people, the Jews, who have Samaritans who live right there in the heart of their country. You picture in your mind, and we've done this before, you picture in your mind the land of Palestine, and you've got Galilee and you've got Judea. Who lives in Galilee and who lives in Judea? Well, Jews primarily. Guess who lives right in the middle? Samaritans live right in the middle. We don't like them. It's like Palm Beach County and Broward County and Miami-Dade County. But you know what they would do if they were trying to travel from Galilee down to Judea, trying to travel from Palm Beach County down to Miami-Dade County? They'd go over around Lake Okeechobee in order to get down to Miami-Dade County to avoid Broward County. Would you do that? I mean, I hate driving to Miami as it is. But do I want to go all the way around? Seriously? They would do it. They'd get on the other side of the Jordan River, travel north or south, whichever, and then travel back over Jordan. So they didn't have to go through Samaria. Don't have any dealings with them. There was one rabbi who said, "He who eats bread from the Samaritans is like one who eats the flesh of swine." You know what the Jews felt about pigs. That's what they felt about the Samaritans. Well, how did the Samaritans feel towards the Jews? They didn't like them either. It was a two-way street. They hated each other going both ways. The Jews couldn't stand Gentiles. You read about all of the Jews in Jesus' day and all of their washings, all their ceremonial washings, and having the cup clean and having the dish clean, all of that. They weren't concerned about dirt. They weren't concerned about, you know, catching some kind of dirt germ or something. They had all of these washings because of the Gentiles. They didn't want to be infected by the Gentiles. Racism. Even in the Bible, not God condoning it. You don't read about it in the Bible because God's saying, "Yeah, this is great." You read about it in the Bible because God's saying, "This is horrible that this would ever exist." But what some people have found interesting, what some people have found that they didn't even realize, is that what we are dealing with today in racism is much the result of and much being propagated by atheists and evolutionists. Atheists and evolutionists are ones who have a history of viciousness towards those of other races. And you say, "Wait a minute, I'm not sure about that." Well, let's see. Let's back up in time. Have you ever heard about a guy named Charles Darwin? You heard about this guy, right? He wrote a book called, you remember what the name of his book was? When he wrote this grand book about his theory of evolutionary theory, he writes this book on the origin of the species. You know that. You've heard about the origin of the species. Do you know what the subtitle of that book was? On the origin of the species. You know what the subtitle of the book was? The preservation of favored races in the struggle for life. Your friends who believe in evolution, who follow Darwinian evolution, what are they following? Preservation of favored races. Darwin argued that the success of civilized nations in supplanting these barbarous nations who were less than them has been achieved by the former developing, and these are his words in quotes, intellectual faculties that are greater than those barbarous nations. What is that? That's racism. Evolution at its core is racism. And so after Darwin, there were several people who were great Darwin promoters, and one of them was a man by the name of Ernst Haeckel, who lived after Darwin, but was a great supporter and philosopher that followed him. He urged the German people to advance the human evolution of racial purity. He advocated for racial purity by purging, his word, the unfit. Well, who's unfit? I mean, I don't work out much. I'm not really fit. Is that what he's talking about? People that are unfit because we... No, you know that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about racial purity and impurity. So he urged the Nordic Germans to increase the superiority of the Nordic race by ridding the world of the inferior individuals and races. Well, how do you rid the world of that? Through violence, through euthanasia, by killing them. Maybe you're more familiar with a man by the name of Friedrich. I used to say Nietzsche, but then I learned it's Nietzsche. I was mispronouncing his name. Apologies to him. So Friedrich Nietzsche was also a philosopher of evolution who followed Darwin, was a big Darwin lover, and he longed for the development and elevation of not Clark Kent, but he was talking about he wanted the Superman. Well, what's the Superman? The Superman, in his mind, was a superior race to other people that would eliminate those who were weaker and less desirable. We don't really want these un-Superman, these weaker individuals. And so that's what Nietzsche was all about, was developing and eliminating those who were not the Superman. Well, as you hear about Haeckel and Nietzsche, and hear about their desire through violence and euthanasia to get rid of those who are unfit, to get rid of those who are inferior, who does that sound like? Who comes along on their heels and is following after them and loves everything that they're saying? You know who's following along after their heels. Adolf Hitler comes along. And Adolf Hitler has been captivated by Darwinian evolution. And so all of this, atheism, evolution, racism, is at the heart of his Mein Kampf. Right there. And so Hitler rationalized his hatred for the Jews by elevating the Germans as the higher race. He said the Germans are the higher race through and that their evolutionary future was brighter and that their evolutionary future was more deserving than the Jews. And so he killed 6 million inferior, unfit, undesirable, non-superhuman individuals because they did not meet his standards. There was one of his soldiers who was captured and was put to death by the Russians. And before he was put to death, this soldier of Hitler, before he was put to death, confessed to killing Jewish women and Jewish children. And here's what this soldier said. When Hitler came to power, I was 13. I was taught we were the master race, that all others were inferior. I was taught that these other people, being inferior, had no rights. Therefore, I killed and destroyed without compunction. What's he doing? Following what he's been told to do. Looking down on these inferior races who have no rights. History is literally littered with racism. And yet right there in the middle of history shines one bright light. Rather than denouncing, rather than denigrating, rather than putting down other people of races, what did Jesus do? Jesus elevated. Can you believe this? He comes along and Jesus elevated people of other races. John chapter 4 and verse 9. What did that verse say? John 4 and verse 9 says, no, the Jews, they don't have dealings with the Samaritans. That's interesting because 5 verses earlier in John 4 and verse 4, the Bible said Jesus needed to go through Samaria. No Jew ever needed to go through Samaria. They wanted to go around it, but no Jew ever needed to go. Jesus did. Why did Jesus need it? Why? Because the Samaritans were there. Souls were there. The Samaritan woman was there. He sat down and talked to a Samaritan. Not only that, he sat down and talked to a Samaritan woman. Jesus wasn't a racist. Jesus told a parable about a man who got beat up and left for dead and how a Jewish man came by and wouldn't touch him. Another Jewish man came by and wouldn't touch him. But then the hero of the story came by to take care of this Jew. Who was the hero? A Samaritan. Jesus wasn't a racist. Jesus healed 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17. And the only one the Bible says who came back to thank him was a Samaritan. Jesus, over and over, was going out of his way to show that he was a savior of all mankind, not a particular race. When Jesus was trying to elevate individuals from the Old Testament, say, look at these great individuals from the Old Testament. When he tried to show some examples of great faith in the days of Elijah and Elisha, you know who he talked about? 2 Gentiles. He didn't even pick 2 Jews. He picked Naaman and the widow of Zarephath, 2 Gentiles. And look at their great faith. 2 individuals came to Jesus to take care of their children. And Jesus, not a Jew, but 2 Gentiles. Jesus said about these 2 Gentiles, I haven't found such great faith, no, not even in Israel. Jesus elevated others no matter what race they may have been from. Jesus is that bright light that shines in the middle of a very dark history of mankind. He literally stands out in history. Question for you. What side of history do you stand on? Do you stand on the side with the atheists and the evolutionists who practice racism? Or do you stand on the side with Jesus Christ, who elevates people of all ethnic backgrounds? English class? Nope. No justification for racism there. History class? Nope. No justification for racism there. What about science class? That's in science class where we're finally going to figure out, yep, there are differences, and you're over here, and you're over here, and you all shouldn't have anything to do with each other, right? Wrong. That's not what science teaches. Scientifically, what we have learned is that there are no classification systems in science that can reliably distinguish one race from another. You say, no, that's not possible. We can obviously distinguish one race from another because what we do is we use skin color. And we say, here's skin color, and your skin color makes up your race. And science says, nope, that's not the case. There is no scientific way to say one skin color is one race and another skin color is another race because there are exceptions on every side. And so what do the exceptions show? Nope. No classification system has been found to work. Many have been proposed, but none have been able to say, this is how we define what a race is. If you go to the doctor, been to the doctor lately, and you got to tell them what your race is. Usually they're going to have maybe three or four choices for you. Last time I went and filled out a form, they had about seven or eight choices for me. Sometimes in some of these classification systems, people have come up, they've got two or three dozen different ways of trying to define what races are. What does that indicate to you? Man can't figure it out. Man cannot figure out a way to differentiate the races. And the reason is because every time they come back and realize, wait a minute, there's more similarities between the races than there are differences. Let that sink in for a minute. Scientists have told us there are more similarities between races than there are differences. What do? We focus in on the differences. And science says, why are you doing that? There's more similarities than there are differences. And so here's the deal. Get this. Scientifically, there's only one species of man on this earth. If you don't like the word species, just put the word race. Scientifically, there is only one race of man on this earth. Everybody in this room, everybody watching online, everybody who's sitting at home drinking coffee and watching this later is a Homo sapien. If you don't like that word, I didn't make it up. That's a scientific term. We're all Homo sapiens, every single one of us. So here's what somebody more qualified than me had to say, a Dr. Ashley Montague, Montague was a militant evolutionist, not a creationist, not believe in God, militant evolutionist. But here's what this doctor said in his book, Human Heredity. Said, all the ethnic groups of man must have originated from a single ancestral stock. This scientist said, the more we study the different ethnic groups of man, the more alike they turn out to be. Go figure. We're not all that different. We're all the more alike. And so most people want to try to define race based upon skin color. But skin color is only caused by a pigment in us that we're going to talk about in a minute. Well, it's a pigment called melanin. Did you know that? It's not melon. You don't have a watermelon in you. It's not melon. It's melanin. And we'll have a spelling test later on. Every single person here has melanin. Go figure. Now look around. Some of you have more melanin than others. Some of you have more money than others. Some of you have more hair than others. Some of you have more weight than others. Some of you have more melanin than others. It's just a fact of life. And so this pigment that's called melanin, the more you have, the darker you are. The less you have, the lighter you are. So our apparent differences have nothing to do with skin type, have nothing to do with the type of person or the type of color that somebody is. All that our skin color is the amount of melanin that we have in our bodies. Melanin is there to protect us from UV radiation. That's why God put melanin in your body, is to protect you from UV radiation. So your skin color, what is your skin color? It is the production, it's the level of melanin is controlled by two pairs of genes. I've got three pairs of genes at home. I don't know how many you have, but that's not the kind of genes this is talking about. Your skin color is determined by two pairs of genes in your body. If those genes are dominant, if there is a dominant gene within those genes, if it's dominant, your skin color is going to be darker. But if your genes are recessive, your skin color is going to be lighter. And so all skin color is really just shades of difference. Not major differences, just shades of differences between us. And all it is dependent on whether we have within us dominant or recessive genes when it comes to melanin. What in the world does that have to do with anything? Can I ask you about Adam and Eve? What color were Adam and Eve? What color were they? I know what color they were in your Bible story class. What color were Adam and Eve? Now, that could only be answered if we could get CSI to get their bodies and to do some biological examination on their DNA. And that's how we could figure out what color they were. But Adam and Eve, think about this. If Adam and Eve were both dominant, and that's where you have capital letters. If Adam and Eve, if their two genes, remember, genes, not what you're wearing on your, if their two pairs of genes to set up their skin color, if they were both dominant with capital letters, then they would have been very dark skinned. Now, if they were recessive, not capital letters, lowercase letters, if both Adam and Eve were recessive, not dominant, but if they were both recessive, then they would only have children with the lightest of skin. So think about this. Adam and Eve, in your imagination, what color were Adam and Eve? Were they dark? Were they light? Were they something in the middle? And what kind of children, Cain and Abel and Seth and all, what color were they? Were they all the same? Were they all the same color? Or could they have had children who were different colors? See, we are so fascinated and fixed upon somebody's skin color, and yet that doesn't make up some kind of a racial difference. So is it possible, when we're thinking about Adam and Eve here, is it possible that all of the skin colors that we see could have originated from one couple? No, I don't think that's possible. Because, I mean, Tracy and I had kids, and they both looked the same. Isn't that the case? I mean, and even if we had as many kids as Tavar and Shamika had, I think all of our kids would have had, you know, about the same look. So could one couple, all of the differences that we see today, could one couple produce all of these different? And if so, how long would it take? I would suggest to you that one couple can and did create all of the differences we see, and that one couple created them in one generation. How would that be possible? Not if Adam and Eve were dominant, not if they had recessive genes, but if they were, here's your next spelling word, if they were both heterozygous. If instead of capitals or lowercase, they were a mixture. If they were heterozygous, meaning they had two dominant, and wouldn't this be just like God? Wouldn't it be just like God to say, you know what, Adam? You know what, Eve? I'm going to give you two of each. I'm going to give you two dominant and two recessive genes. What would happen if God gave Adam and gave Eve both two dominant and two recessive genes to determine their skin color? Guess what? They would have been, and this is a term here, I don't know if it's right, they would have been middle brown in color. Let that sink in. Whatever you thought they were, this is what they probably were. I don't even know what middle brown is. You can tell me later what you think middle brown is, okay? But they would have been middle brown in color. And they would have produced every single difference that we see today. Every single skin color that we see today would have been able to be produced in a very short period of time, and I would suggest to you in one generation. How is that possible? I want to show you a chart that comes from AP. I want to show you this chart, and I want you to see. How many children do you think Adam and Eve had? I mean, Adam lived 930 years. How many kids, I mean, tomorrow, if you lived 930 years, how many kids would you? Shamika's like, no, don't answer that question. So, 930 years. How many kids do you think they had? Bible tells us they had that they had more children after Cain, Abel, and Seth. Do you think they had as many as 16 children? I would say, you know, if you're going to, God says, be fruitful and multiply. Three children doesn't get the job done. So be fruitful and multiply. They've got to have a lot of kids. Could they have had 16 kids? Here's Eve who lives hundreds of years. Could she have had 16 kids? I'm just using the number 16 because this next chart's going to have 16 quadrants on it. And what it's going to show you is that if Adam was heterozygous and if Eve was heterozygous, meaning two dominant, two recessive both, what kind of children would they have? Here's the kind of children that they would have. They would end up with one who was the very darkest. They would have four who were dark, six who were medium. They would have four light and one who would be the lightest. And that's down here in the bottom right-hand corner. So if they're both heterozygous and they have children, what skin color would their children have? Their children would have all sorts of skin colors because their DNAs, their genes would all be getting mixed up when they're, and so wouldn't that be fun? If you're Adam and Eve and you have, I wonder what color this one's going to be. We haven't had this color before. Do you think Adam and Eve were racists? Not in the least were they racist. These are my children. And we love them all the same. It does not matter what color they are. Well, what would happen if a descendant of Adam and Eve, who was all dominant, married another descendant of Adam and Eve, who was all dominant? What color would their children be? They would all be dark. What if a descendant of Adam and Eve that was all recessive married another descendant of Adam and Eve that was all recessive? They would all be light. Where'd all of that come from? Just DNA and genes and reproduction. You see, we go back and we look at Adam and Eve, and the extreme colors and the colors in the middle can all be shown to be produced from one couple if God made them both heterozygous. So what happens? What happens in Genesis chapter 6, 7, 8, and 9? You know you got the flood. Well, what do Noah and Mrs. Noah have in them? What do Shem, Ham, and Japheth have in them? They've got all of this DNA. They've got all of these genes. And they come out and they have more of these children with all of these mixed up genes. In Genesis chapter 11, you remember, and we won't go into all of this about the Tower of Babel, but you remember the Tower of Babel and how God confused the languages and it caused all of the people to be spread out over all of the earth. Do you think that's the way that all of these different colors of individuals got to all of these different places? What if when the people were scattered from the Tower of Babel, that they all kind of grouped together and they were going to go over here, we're going to go over here, we're going to go over here. Maybe that's how all of these different groups ended up in all of these places with one particular skin color. Not one particular race, because guess what? We're all the same race. There's no difference in us. It's just how much melanin you got. And some of you went to the tank and you filled up more on the melanin than some of the rest of the people did, but you all got melanin. So how did they get all over the world? Genesis chapter 11. They got all over the world in all of these different places. But does that mean that one group of people in one place, well, these people are darker or they live over here. Oh, these people are lighter who live over there. Does that mean that one of them is more superior than the other? No, it just means they're different. So what's the point? Point is that according to true science, all ethnic groups are from one common origin. It doesn't matter skin color, eye shape. Some have tried to look at eye shape or look at hair texture or look at height and say that's the differences in races. Nope, it doesn't matter. We're all from one common origin. There are no exact and fully universal distinctions that can be made among the ethnic groups. There are more similarities than there are differences. Get your Bible out, because this is exactly what the Bible said. Get your Bible out and go to Acts chapter 17. We got to get to one more class this morning, so I want you to get your Bibles out and go there quick. You go to Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, the Bible tells us, we don't have to learn it from science, although science, what does it do? Confirms what the Bible says. But in Acts chapter 17 and verse 26, Paul was preaching, and Paul said that God created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He made everything. In the beginning, God made from. Maybe your Bible has the word out. The word literally means God made out of one. Your Bible might have the word man after the word one. It might have the word blood after the word one. But in the Greek, there is no word like that after one. It just says in the Greek, God made out of one everybody who's on the earth. And that word one is singular and masculine. What does that point to? Adam. Singular, masculine. From one man, from one person, God made everybody. See, science tells us that. The Bible tells us that. Our skin color is a part of our DNA. God gave you your DNA. If you don't like somebody's skin color, you don't like God. You don't like what God has done. Because God is the one who made all of us the way that we are. We are all the same. We're all humankind. If you don't like that, you can go live on another planet and be something different. But on this planet, we are all humankind. Given our DNA by God, some of us just have more melanin than others. But is that a big deal? Do you pick on some people because they have less? Maybe you do pick on some people because they got less hair than others. Some preachers have more hair. Do you like some people because they wear glasses or somebody doesn't wear glasses? Somebody has long hair, short hair? What a ridiculous reason to like somebody or not like somebody. So is skin color. A ridiculous reason to like somebody or not like somebody. Very quickly, we got to go to behavioral science class and then we're done. Behavioral science class, what's that all about? Behavioral science class is about what we've been talking about. When we've been talking about English and history and science class, based upon what we've seen, what does it say from these classes if somebody's a racist? From English and history and science, what does it say if you're a racist? And that's where behavioral science comes into play. Behavioral science is the study of human behavior and how that behavior impacts your thoughts, your decisions, your interactions, and your actions. So it's analyzing your behavior, how you think, what you do, what your attitude is like. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you two questions. First question, where does racism come from? Where does racism come from? Interestingly, as I've researched this, some people want to blame racism on Christianity. And I just read that and thought, nope, that's not. I mean, I'd blame racism on Christianity, that's as wrong can be. Some people have said, okay, where does racism come from? Well, it comes from parents and a child's upbringing, their environment. And so some people have literally said, I can't help it. This is the way I was brought up. Wrong. You can help it. It doesn't matter the way that you were brought up. Maybe that is the way that you were brought up. That doesn't mean you've got to be a racist. You can go against the way that you've been brought up. Some people have blamed racism on the hate-filled environment that is in our country. And I know it's hate-filled, but that's no excuse for you. That's no reason for you to be a racist. Some have blamed it on the violent dehumanization efforts that we saw, especially in Hitler. Some have blamed racism on the far left or the far right politicians. Well, okay, but is that a reason for you to be a racist? Some have blamed it on social institutions or on narrow-minded leaders or whatever it may be. But whatever you want to blame racism on, is that a reason for you to be a racist? Here's where racism comes from. Racism is a result of evolutionary mindset that divorces God from our society. When you take God out of the equation, what do you have? Racism. Where does racism come from? It comes from sin and sin and more sin. And the more sin you get, the more racism you're going to get. Where does racism come from? It comes from the devil. Pure and simple. That's where racism comes from. And so if I am a racist, what does that say about me? How can I know if I am a racist? How can I know if maybe I've got some of those feelings of racism in me that are unlike anything that Jesus would have me to be? Some of you may know the name Jeff Foxworthy. Comedian, at least that's what he claims to be. Some of you may not think he's all that funny, but Jeff Foxworthy is a comedian. And he's got a bit that he calls, you might be a redneck. And what Jeff Foxworthy is a redneck. If he knows a redneck, if there's anybody who knows a redneck, it'd be Jeff Foxworthy. So he's got this bit that he calls, you might be a redneck if. And so he goes through this whole long list of things that says, you know, if somebody asks for your ID and you show them your belt buckle, you might be a redneck. You know, and so they've got he goes through all of these things to say, here's some signs that you might be a redneck. Well, these aren't going to be funny. Jeff Foxworthy's are funny. These aren't going to be funny. But here are some signs that you might be a racist. If the first thing you notice of a person is their skin color, you might be a racist. If your default is to see skin color or to think skin color, you might be a racist. If you think certain things about a person because of their skin color, you might be a racist. If you are more concerned about the color of one's skin than the content of his character, you might be a racist. If you think your skin color is superior, you might be a racist. If you believe that everyone in a particular race is a racist, you might be a racist. If you believe that everyone in a particular group or organization is a racist, you might be a racist. If you think you have a right to treat other skin colors differently than yours, you might be a racist. If you assume a person will have a certain attitude toward you because of their skin color, you might be a racist. If you assume a person will have a certain attitude toward you because of your skin color, you might be a racist. If you assume a person will take certain actions toward you because of their skin color, you might be a racist. If you assume a person will take certain actions toward you because of your skin color, you might be a racist. If you think that those who disagree with you on something are racists, you might be a racist. If you think racists are only among those of another skin color, you might be a racist. If you react in racist ways because you've been treated in racist ways, you might be a racist. If you interpret almost everything that happens as a sign of racism when usually it's not, you might be a racist. If you cringe to see people of different skin colors get married, you might be a racist. If you are concerned about the skin color of your children's friends, you might be a racist. If you treat someone better depending on their skin color, you might be a racist. If the size of your smile at someone depends on the color of their skin, you might be a racist. If the tone of your voice, or whether you speak up to someone or down to someone or equal with someone, depends on the color of their skin, you might be a racist. If your patience level with someone depends on their skin color, you might be a racist. If holding the door for someone depends on their skin color, you might be a racist. If how long you hold the door open for someone depends on their skin color, you might be a racist. If giving someone the benefit of the doubt depends on their skin color, you might be a racist. If whether you greet someone first or wait to be greeted depends on their skin color, you might be a racist. If I've lost my place. If whether you say please or thank you depends on your skin color, but depends on their skin color, you might be a racist. If how fervently and meaningfully you say please or thank you depends on their skin color, you might be a racist. If the way you treat the cashier, especially if he or she messes up, depends on their skin color, you might be a racist. If yielding to pedestrians depends on their skin color, you might be a racist. If how you talk on the phone to a stranger depends on what you think their skin color is, you might be a racist. If you make a hiring decision based upon someone's skin color, you might be a racist. If you think your skin color means you couldn't possibly be a racist, you might be a racist. If you think being a Christian means you can't be a racist. You might be a racist. If you think everybody else but you is a racist, you might be a racist. If you use terms like white people this or black people that, you might be a racist. If your first way of describing another person is to identify the color of their skin, you might be a racist. If everything to you has to do with race or has to be about race, you might be a racist. If you think this church is a white church, you might be a racist. If you look to see what skin colors are sitting close by before you sit in a pew, you might be a racist. If you concern yourself in worship with how many men of each color are up front serving, you might be a racist. If you think this church doesn't need any more white members, you might be a racist. If you think this church doesn't need any more black members, you might be a racist. You think this church doesn't need any more brown members, you might be a racist. If you think this church doesn't need any more white elders, you might be a racist. If you are afraid to speak God's truth about racism, you might be a racist. If you think this lesson is for everyone else but you, you might be a racist. There is no acceptable place for racism in my life. There is no acceptable place for racism in any of our lives, regardless of who we are or who we think we are. There's one more class we don't have time to get to this morning. But we're going to get to that class tonight. And it is the most important class that we've got to go to. I've just tried to look at all of you right in the eye to ask you to please be back here tonight. As we go to the most important class that we need to go to in school to talk about racism. I don't know what more important thing you think you've got to do tonight than to be here to worship God. But I want to plead with you to be back here at 6 o'clock tonight. To be back here to finish this discussion of what we need to learn in school about racism. I'm begging you, please come back tonight. As we finish this discussion today, we realize that we cannot find justification anywhere for racism. We've been to four classes already, and there's not justification in any of those classes for racism. There is no justification anywhere for thinking about one group of people is superior or inferior to another group of people just because of the color of their skin. Racism is one of the worst tragedies that the devil has ever unleashed on mankind. The true cause of racism is sin. Racism is not a matter of skin. Racism is a matter of sin. And when we recognize that what racism is, that it is an insidious evil that dishonors God, that dishonors God's nature, that dishonors God's creation, that dishonors God's desires, that dishonors God's commands for us, we will realize there's no room in the Bible anywhere for racism. The Bible outright condemns racism in James chapter 2, and we saw that. The Bible teaches us that it is a violation of God's law. Man may not care, but that doesn't matter. It's a violation of God's law to practice any level of racism. Jesus condemned judging somebody based upon their appearance. In John chapter 7 and verse 24, any hint of any level of racism in our lives has got to be eradicated, every bit of it, and filled back in with the unconditional love of Jesus Christ. any speck of racism in your heart, get it out. But don't let the world fill in that void. Fill it in with the unconditional love of Jesus to get rid of all prejudice, to get rid of all partiality, to get rid of all racism out of our hearts, to get rid of all human reasoning and human wisdom that says, oh, well, here's a reason you ought to be racist. Forget that. Here's a reason you ought to look down on this. No, forget that. Unconditional love of Jesus won't allow us to do any of those things. May God help us to see people the way He sees them, to stop looking on the outward appearance. This is not a lesson for you to walk away and to say, boy, I hope so-and-so was paying attention today. He was preaching right at them. Boy, they needed to be paying attention. That's not today's sermon. This is not the sermon for you to walk away and say, boy, I wish so-and-so, I was looking around and they weren't even here. This lesson was perfect for them. This lesson is for you. And if you don't think it's for you, then maybe you're the one who needs to investigate your heart and where you are on this subject. This is a matter of what God says. This is a matter of what the Bible says. The news media is not going to teach you this. School is not going to teach you this. Facebook is not going to teach you this. Only God is going to teach us this, and what we've got to do is find out what's pleasing to God and do whatever is pleasing to our God. The foolishness of racism is dividing our country. May God help us to trust Him, not the foolishness around us, to follow Him and not the foolishness around us. And may God help us to refuse to allow this foolishness of racism to invade our lives, to invade our hearts, to invade our families, or to invade this church. God help us to be His people on this earth, to be what He wants us to be. Please be back here tonight at 6 o'clock, and let's go to one more class. Are you saved today? Has Jesus ever saved you from your sins? If you've never had Jesus to save you, not in the way the world would teach you, but in the way the Bible teaches you, have you ever been saved the way the Bible says to be saved from your sins? The Bible says to be saved from our sins, we've got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. What color was Jesus? Do you really care? Does it really matter what color He was? I'll tell you, when He shed His blood for your sins, it came out red. He shed His blood for your sins and my sins that separate us from God. Do you believe that He died for you? That He was buried and that on the third day He was raised from the dead? If you believe that with all of your heart, why don't you make up your mind today? I'm done with sin. It nailed my Savior to the cross. I want to get away from it. Turn my life in the direction of God. If you're ready to repent today, Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, we're going to look at this verse next week. Romans 2 and verse 4 says that the goodness of God drives me to repentance. Are you ready to repent today? Get away from sin. Confess the faith that's in your heart today. This very day you can be baptized into Christ. And in baptism, where the blood of Jesus, not the water, where the blood of Jesus will wash away every sin you've ever committed. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been baptized, not thinking you were already saved? Be baptized knowing you were not saved until you were immersed into Christ, raised to walk a new life, faithfully serving Him every day. If you've never done that, then why don't you come right now as together we stand and sing.